Blog Talk Radio.
If you wouldn't mind opening up in prayer for us this evening.
Sure.
Father God, in the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we come before you humbly at this hour just to say thank you. Thank you for being with us throughout this day, dear God. Thank you for watching over us and keeping us throughout this day, Father God. Thank you for allowing us to just to be in your presence once again. Now, dear God, before I go any further, I just ask that you forgive me for any and all sins I may have committed on this day. Anything that I did that was knowingly and unknowingly not pleasing within your sight, I ask for forgiveness. Lord God, in the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we humbly beseech you at this hour, Father God, once again to come before you, Father God, in worship, O Father God, in praise and in glory to your name, O Lord God. We ask that you bless the ministry of GQ Palace, a spiritual Sunday on this evening, O Father God. Bless all those that will be participating, Father God, the callers in, those that are listening in, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Continue to endow, Father God, with power from on high, so that all that be done on this day be done to your glory. We ask now, Father God, for prayers on behalf of the CEO, Rich Archibald, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, continue to strengthen him, O Father God. Continue to have your way in his life, O Father God. Continue to allow him, O Father God, to be all that he can be in you, O Lord God, and to keep holding on to your unchanging hands. And Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we also ask that you bless our host, Lavina Polite. Oh, Father God, continue to instruct her in her ways, oh, Father God, and all that that you have set before her, Father God, that she's able to accomplish. Oh, Lord God, we also pray it on behalf of those the staff members, those that are associated with GQ Palace, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we just ask, dear God, that, again, that all things that be done on this day be done decently and in order and be done to your glory and to your honor. And this is just a humble prayer that we submit to you at this time. In the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What I wanted to do is just, you know, talk to you about how your week has been thus far. And then we're going to bring on, we have, I'm going to call her, a spiritual leader. She is actually an actress, and she is a gospel singer as well. But she does have a wonderful testimony. I did hear her sing. Oh, she can sing.
Amen.
She actually sung a cappella on Friday's show, and it was wonderful. The concept, the movement, everything that she's doing. I'm just hoping that when she comes on, she explains everything throughout, so this way everyone understands exactly what she's doing and how she needs everyone's help in order to do it. So I'm going to bring her on after I speak to you for a little bit and we go to a song. Her name is, I'm going to call her Sister Kitra Williams. We're going to bring her on shortly. But Minister Weathersby, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. All is well.
How was your week?
Oh, the week has been real good. I did involved with ministry stuff that I do with outreach at this rehab facility that I volunteer at. And as a matter of fact, just a couple hours ago, I was just getting home from delivering this afternoon's message for them. So I'm pretty busy.
Praise God. You do have the energy to do everything because you are a busy man. You had mentioned...
I say I'm pretty busy, but I tell you I'm not as busy as I probably can be and maybe should be, because I'm still believing that I've yet to fulfill all that God would have me to do for him. So there's always room to do more.
And, you know, and I actually said that today, and I'm just like, you know what, I have so much more work to do. When I'm looking around, I'm trying to figure out, okay, did I forget something? Did I forget something? And then I started just writing down a list of everything that I had to do or that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat and I just said, you know, said my prayer. And I said, you know what, if everything is meant to be for me to do all this stuff, then yes, I'm going to do it. He's going to grant me the energy that I need to do it, you know, because my body's been, I don't know, it's been shutting down a little bit lately because I've been running around so much. But lately it's just been like when the mind is tired, the soul is just like, you know, dozing off, you know. So
yeah.
It's been happening to me lately, and I know it's just been, you know, my body's tired and I just need to sleep, you know, catch up on some sleeping from when Rich was sick. He was in the hospital, and you know, my back was hurting for the hard hospital chair that I was sleeping in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to have to write a letter to somebody, just let them know that, you know, whenever there's a family member in a hospital, they need a recliner in their room.
You know? Amen. That would help, wouldn't it?
It would. I'm telling you, it would help. It would help. But what we're going to do, we're going to go to a song real fast. Just each week, you know, we sit and we talk together. So I just wanted us to be able to have our, you know, our few minutes together so we can talk before we bring our spiritual leader on, as well.
Amen.
As take other callers. So we're going to go to a song, and then when we come back, we'll bring her on, and then we'll start the show.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Pain, and he knows your heart.
Welcome to GQ Power's Spiritual Sunday. Is everyone still there?
Yes, I am.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring on Minister Cheryl Miller first, and then we're going to bring on Sister Kitra Williams. Minister Cheryl Miller, welcome to the show. Hey, sis. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Sister Lavina?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. How are you doing, Minister Weathersby?
Very good, Minister Cheryl. How are you?
I'm good, sir.
Good.
All right. So what we're going to do this evening is we're going to bring on, I want to call her Sister Kitra Williams, and I want to call her a spiritual leader. She's doing a lot of things, and she's an actress and a gospel singer as well. She's going to come on and give her testimony. She also has someone with her as well, and she'll introduce the person that she has with her. So, Sister Kitra Williams, welcome to the show.
Why, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And you have someone with you, right?
I do. I have one of my dear sisters in the Lord, special friend and committee member for the Million Youth Peace March International. Her name is Miss Christine Jackson, and we affectionately call her Chrissy. So Chrissy is on with us. Chrissy, you'd like to say hello?
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And we want to welcome both of you to the show. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, well, I am very blessed to have been charged with doing being the CEO and founder of America's First Million Youth Peace March on Capitol Hill. That is my main mandate, to cover our children, those who have been distraught, who feel like that they're not loved, those who feel like they have to resort to violence, to teach them that God can meet them right where they are and to bring them to a place of reconciliation with one another. So God has graced me to be able to do the Million Youth Peace March for the past 2 years on Capitol Hill. And we're going on our third year. We're very excited. And we're going to be marching from the Capitol to the Washington Monument on October 4th of this year. And we're excited about this opportunity to just encourage our babies, you know, against violence and also in mental health and wellness.
Amen. Amen.
And Sister Chrissy?
Yes. Hello, everyone. It's a pleasure again to be included on this particular interview. I am the founder of the Torch of Hope Incorporated, and in 2009, the Lord actually impressed upon my heart to begin this work. And this work, of course, was a birth from the loss of our 18-year-old son, Philip Christopher Jackson, age 18, who was shot and killed by a friend playing with a handgun. And I'll tell you, being my eldest son of two, I have another son, Aaron. Philip was indeed a wonderful, wonderful son. He loved the Lord. He was just a wonderful son, born on my birthday, believe it or not, May the 5th. So we always had that special bond. And truly, indeed, he was reared in the Lord, and he demonstrated that throughout his life. So it was only fitting to bring his life to those who have impacted, his life, in particularly, his peers and those in the community, and, of course, family and friends. So we decided upon the establishment of the organization to carry the torch. And our mission is, again, serving as a bridge to the community, serving survivors of crime victims, and actually telling our story and impressing upon those who lost loved ones due to gun violence that it doesn't stop at the grave. We take sincerely what a precious life that had to go down into the earth and express to, again, those who are hurting, those those who have lost and those who haven't, to let them know that there is a better way. Peace and unity and love for mankind, one love to another. So that's what we do. We take our mission, you know, again, to the communities, and we're just thankful for his life, and we plan to carry the torch. And, it, again, it's a pleasure to work with Kitcher Williams as a partner for the Million Youth Peace March. We believe that on October 4th, many lives, even prior to, will be changed, and that peace will rest upon the hearts of our youth, and they will become productive citizens who do matter to society. Thank you.
Amen. Now, before I ask you to give the information so that so of course, once whoever missed the show, they're able to go and listen to the archive. So before I ask you to give all the information out so that anyone looking to support can contact you via web or however, you know, your connections are, would you like to, would both of you like to just share your testimony or what you're thankful for this evening?
Well, praise God. I also had a personal loss. My my brother, who was actually 75 years old, not even 2 years ago, was shot down. He was gunned down, and they actually threw his body in the trunk of his car and set the car on fire. In addition to that, my best friend of about 16 years, she lost her only begotten son to gun violence. So we take this thing to heart. And we make serious visits about our babies and our youth and just, you know, the community as a whole. It is time to put the guns down. And that's what our voice is saying. And this is just a wonderful opportunity. We're going to be doing several mini fundraisers leading up to the event. I personally have the blessed opportunity of starring in Bishop T.D. Jakes' Woman Thou Art Loosed. In that play, it depicted a woman being abused by a boyfriend who was physically abusing her daughter. And at any cost, she gave up her relationship with the Lord just to have a man and her relationship with her daughter and allow this man to physically abuse her while being in the home. And that story is the story of so many broken women today. And so God used me in that play miraculously to share the stories of so many women. As Bishop would tell me before I would go on the stage, he would say, help me tell the story of so many broken women who have sat down in my office and shared their most intimate. And so that was the highlight of the ministry and the testimonies of the women that we speak for today. And then I had the blessed opportunity of starring in Tyler Perry's Diary of a Mad Black Woman. And in that, I was abused by a man who just wanted to lay and play. And we women, we know how these men do, but they can only do, you know, what we allow them to do. So we need to learn to keep our lids closed and wait for God to send us our Boaz, okay, and the right man that God has for us. And so that was a story in itself as well. Okay, And then, come on, do I have a testimony, anybody? And then we have the testimony of The Color Purple, where, of course, the leading role was played by Fantasia on Broadway. I had the blessed opportunity of starring with her. She is magnificent, phenomenally anointed and talented woman. And I had the blessed opportunity of meeting with her, sharing the stage with her, and she played the role of an abused woman as well. So there's abuse in many forms. We have to notice the signs. There's physical abuse. There's mental abuse. There's verbal abuse. There's different types of abuse. And what we need to do is recognize the signs early, okay, and put a stop to the madness. Do not allow it, because what happens is you begin to make excuses for it over and over and over again, and then the result, okay, end up being detrimental, sometimes deadly. So we have the opportunity to be the voice for violence, and we're grateful for it. And we just ask those who can and will to partner with us and to come on board and to spread the word and to meet us out there on October 4th so that we can share the same concerns of our youth. They're hurting. We're not listening to them. We're not there used to be a time where we would sit at the table and have dinner with our babies and ask, find out what's going on in your world. What did you do at school today? You know, what's going on? How you feeling? But now we don't do that. We've become a very technology society. And so now we're texting and we're emailing and we're on our phones, our cell phones, and they're coming in one door and we're going out the other. And we're not communicating with our babies. And then we hear that they decided to shoot off a whole bunch of their peers and maybe even take you out too. And then you're wondering why. They've been saying all the time, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? They're on these internet media sites talking about help me. Where you life is horrible. They're expressing themselves, and we're not following them. We're not keeping up with them and communicating with them to find out how we can meet them at their point of need. So this is an attempt to do that.
Yes.
That's right. Now, how do you I always ask this question when it comes to working with the youth, you know, getting them to open up. And my question I usually ask is getting them, you know, to go to church, getting them to do the right thing, letting them know that there is, you know, a better life instead of the street life. What words of encouragement would you give to someone young who is surrounded by, let's just say, negative energy, you know, where sometimes, you know, people are, it's live, and, you know, with your testimonies that you're sharing this evening, you know, kids playing with guns or teenagers or youth having guns, you know, what would you say to the youth?
I'm going to say this, and I would like to ask Sister Christy to expound. I would say just be the example, because our kids are looking at us and saying, you guys are pointing the finger at us, telling us what we're not doing, and you guys are not leading by example. I hear you on the phone, gospel, talking about XYZABC. I hear you. I see you acting like you don't have a nipple's worth of sense, okay? You want to tell me to get up and go to church and sing in the choir and do this, but you're not being faithful and reading your word and doing what you're supposed to do as it relates to the Lord. So I would say be the example. Christy, can you expound?
Yes, Kitra, I echo your comments of being the example. You know, so often our young people want to be trendsetters and want to be leaders of things that have a negative impact, and not just negative from a physical standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint. Anywhere from bullying to toting guns to stealing tennis shoes from innocent, you know, just innocent persons. It's like you be the leader of the pack. And I believe Job 11:18 says it well. It says, you will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. And that key word of safety is no place is safe.
Ooh.
Everything that's going on, youth that have no direction, no guidance, no love, no care.
Yes.
And it's just cyclical. It's from
that's
one
right.
generation to another. And if we can raise up a standard,
that's
a standard
it.
Among the young people that, yes, you are a leader. Yes, your life counts. Yes, you can influence and change, promote change to others who don't see a way out. And it's just allowing those youth to be the leaders and the trendsetters and the trailblazers, I should say, that will take the generation into a whole new environment of peace and unity and love and care from one man to the next. And if we can instill that through, again, reaching out into the communities, partnering with the Boys and Girls Clubs, our local police departments. You know, there are a lot of organizations who are and have actually the infrastructure to incorporate programs and events such as the A Million Youth Peace March. So, again, it's reaching out to those who already have an infrastructure. We're not reinventing the wheel, but we're touching those who have the same passion for youth that we have.
Mm-hmm.
In the school. Yes.
I'd just like to add one more thing to this. You know, we're saying that we want to see our youth better. We want to see them healed. We want to see them delivered. Well, we need to put our action where our mouth is. Because I'm just going to tell you, it's very disappointing, and I'm not one to drag no, you know, folks' names in the mud, because they know who they are, and God knows who they are. But you have people committing to helping the kids, the youth, as though they're for the youth. But all they're trying to do is get a paycheck in their pocket to finance something that is not even related to what our babies are going through. And then when you reach out to them and you call them, they don't pick up their phone. Okay? And then when you say, well, remember you said you was going to make that donation, that sponsorship to help a youth get to the market, to get a bus to just to do that, they say, well, you know, the economy is bad. I can't do that right now. Okay, well, how come you couldn't call me? Why did I have to try to track you down to find out you can't do that right now? When you can look at television and see clearly that our babies are slaughtering each other up like crazy, and they need our help. And they don't need just lip service. They literally need us to show them that we're ready to put our work where our mouth is.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. Minister Weathersby and Minister Miller, would you like to answer the question as well?
First of all, I just would like just to say I just commend the both of you for what you're doing for the youth. Truly, it makes my heart glad, and it encourages me because I am an educator and been an educator for 6 years. And my passion is our children, period. They are the future, and it's important that we be the example, especially those who are living a life of Christ, those who are claiming the name of salvation. It is important that we don't just talk a good game to these young folk, but we live the life, that we be there for our babies, our teenagers. I just, you know, would definitely keep you both in my prayers. I desire to one day to soon open up a facility. Been talking to some people and want to do the same as far as with teenagers. I want to open up a facility and help those kids who feel like there's no hope and a safe haven for them to go to, where godly principles are established. We talk about the goodness of the Lord, just a place that can be themselves. Because the time in which we're living in, so much is going on. They're influenced by so much. And we as people of God, we got to take a stand for our babies. There's too much going on, child molestation, young people just being influenced by all kind of evil things. And as Christians, we have to take a stand for our kids and let them know that they are loved, that they weren't just put on this earth by accident. But they have a calling, they have a purpose on their life. And we are going to be held accountable if we're not being that effective example, especially those of us who say that we have a relationship. So I just would like to just tell both of you that I am just so happy and just proud that you both are stepping up to the plate and desiring to be there for our young people because they need that. They need to be loved. They need to be encouraged. They need to be strengthened because they're going through so much more than what we experienced when we were kids. So may God just continue to bless you both, and may he just shelter you with his love and just give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And I ask that you pray for me, that God will just continue to give me the vision in my life to be a blessing to young people as well.
Amen. I concur with all that has been said. I've had experience in my life dealing with youth over the last 15 odd years or so. I've functioned as a mentor. I've been into detention homes, jails, and prisons, and in various other settings, just dealing with youth and trying to encourage them. Because one of the things that's absent, and I heard that being mentioned. There's no interaction between adults and youth, and it's such a disenfranchisement that's going on. But unfortunately, it begins in the home. The parents are not trained as parents to be parents over the last couple generations. I say the last two generations don't resemble any type of a picture of what I knew a family to be when I was growing up, when I was young. And, children are faced with a lot of things out here. They have to deal with a lot more than what we dealt with when I was growing up. But my thing is that for a lot of people to understand, you don't have to be a parent to be concerned about a child. Just because you have grown up and become an adult yourself should make you want to be concerned about any child that you come in contact with. And one of the things that disturbs me more than anything, because I go way back old school. Once we become adults, it seems to me, and I'm saying it seems to me, and I'm going to be specific, in the black community, that the adults, once those that are fortunate enough and blessed enough to be able to move outside of their experience, they don't come back. They don't come back. And that's sad. That's sad, because we're talking about being an example. Yeah, it's good to be an example, but you need to also make a connection with the people that you're trying to be an example for. You know, children, the reason why they gravitate towards gangs and things of that nature is because those gangs reach out to them and try to provide to them what they're not getting from their home or from the neighborhood, which is love and that sense of family. And that's the lure that they use to bring them in there. Is they say that we are your family. And that's one of the things that I talked about in my book. I'm glad I heard you say it about the communication, because I just don't think that there's enough of that. Growing up, used to be able to sit around the dinner table and have a conversation with family, with parents and their children. That doesn't happen these days, because everybody's texting one another. They could be in the same people in the same house, don't even actually verbally speak to one another. They're texting one another. And the parents are content to allow technology to raise their children. And that's sad. That's sad. That's what leads to all this disenfranchisement. That's what leads to this disillusionment, and that's what leads to allowing them to be able to be easily swayed to those negative things that unfortunately result in things like violence and death and gang activity and things of those nature. So we need to make an effort, a consecrated effort, to reconnect up with our children. And you know how we can really connect up with them? I tell you, one of the things that's important for me is sit down one day and listen to a child. Talk to that child.
That's right. That's
make the connect with them. Don't try to lead them where you want them to go. Listen to them and see what it is that that impacts them, what they're concerned about. And just listen. And they would appreciate that. So I encourage you both. That's a great work that you're doing, and I know it's well needed, because we got too many statistics out here that tell us that we're losing our children, and we're losing them every minute of the day. In Chicago, they kill children on the regular, on a daily. It's just totally out of control, and I think this is a much well needed work, and it's also something that's consistent with God, because we are our brother's keeper, and our sons and our daughters and our and whomever, so we should be concerned, particularly as those that Minister Cheryl said, if we say that we have a relationship with the Lord and we don't care about our children, then we're not being true to what God would have us to do. So I encourage you both. That's a great work that you're doing, and I applaud you for it.
Amen, brother. And we urge you to join us.
Yes. Now, can you just let everyone know how do we join you to help you?
Absolutely. Well, I believe we spoke briefly the last interview I had about you guys coming on board to help us get the word out, to get the youth, bring an awareness about the march, and to get them registered for the march, and to, we're looking for talent. We're trying to comprise a 500 voice choir that's going to sing with me a song I wrote called Make Room for the Children, and I'd like to sing a little bit of that, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, that song is a very powerful song. And I want to step up right here. Sorry. This is a song the Lord gave me called Make Room for the Children. We're going to have 250 youth and 250 adults sing to each other. And one of the things we want to do is we want to give people opportunity to partner with us. We have a phone number and a website. Christy can give you that information. And we're also looking for sponsors. And I believe we briefly spoke about you, Sister Polite, you and your organization, and getting other internet organizations to help us do an internet bond.
Yes, that's correct.
So that we can raise the money we need to get our babies bused out to the capital. And so very quickly, I'm going to give you a little taste of the song. I'm not going to sing the whole song, but I'll give you a little taste. And the song goes like this. I from the wilderness, a voice still unheard, a nation full of politics. When will they learn? Children dying every day, and things are getting worse. It's time to lay aside our pride and put the children first. Make room for the children, 'cause we are the future and we deserve a chance. Please make room for the children. Make it a safe and peaceful world we all can share. Yeah, yeah, make it a safe and peaceful world that show you care.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Amen.
And so, Sister Christy,
yes,
if you could please give him the website where they can get information.
Yes.
And we also have a phone number. Let me give the phone number first. If your organization would like to partner with us or come on as a sponsor, we're looking. We need as much help as possible. We don't plan to do this alone. And the phone number is 202-455-8871. That's 202-455-8871. And you can also email us at millionyouthpeacemarch@gmail.com. Now, Christy, you can give them the Torch of Hope website?
Website, yes. The Torch of Hope website is www, and this is all one word, torchofhopeconsulting.org. Again, that's www.torchofhopeconsulting.org. And our mailing address, if you wish to send donations to a location where we can receive a correspondence, that can be addressed to Torch of Hope, Inc., P.O. Box 83, Bryans Road, and that's B-R-Y-A-N-S, Road spelled out, Maryland, 20616. Again, the mailing address is Torch of Hope, Inc., P.O. Box 83, Bryans Road, B-R-Y-A-N-S, ROAD, Maryland, 20616.
Amen.
Amen. Now, what will happen is anyone that is listening to the show that missed the show or did not get a chance to listen to it, they can always go and listen to the archives. And what we're going to do is we're going to share this link out there so this way people can listen to the archives and get all your information. If they send us a message or something, we'll definitely forward the information as well. Myself, Money will be in contact with you, Ms. Williams, to see exactly how do we start working with you, you know, and trying to get as many people to help, to support, to come down, to give donations. We're excited and we're eager and we're, you know, we thank you for the invitation as well.
Thank you, baby. God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So I thank you guys for coming on. If you guys want to give out any further information, you can. But we are here, you know, on Spiritual Sunday. It's every Sunday from 7 to 9. You can call in and give your testimony or say what you're thankful for, or just call in and hear the music and hear the show.
I just like to say very briefly, I'm just thankful to God for lambs in the bush. God has rams in the bushes all over. And I like to encourage or your listening audience to just know that whatever it is that God has called you to do, step out on faith and do it. I don't have everything that I need to move forward in the physical realm, but I have everything that I need by faith in the spiritual mm-hmm. realm. And God is a faithful God. And if you would just be obedient, he's just listening, waiting for someone to say, send me, Lord, I'll go. It may not
Amen.
Make sense to you, but if you just trust God and go, God will send a ram in the bush. I want to thank God for a ram in the bush that he placed in my life. And that's Sister Chrissy. He placed that baby in my life. She's been a blessing to me and very committed to the vision. And also Dr. Clarence Scrinnage. I thank God for him and the wonderful blessing that he's been in my life. Hold those two up in your prayers. Hold us all up in your prayers. And we look forward to working with you and uniting with you for this great and much-needed cause. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you, too. God bless you, too. Amen. What we're going to do is we're going to go to a song, and then we're going to come back on and start taking some more callers, okay?
Amen.
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 How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
Oh,
who came,
who paid the price,
who paid our price, there's only one. If you know there's only one, make some noise.
Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Would you like to give your testimony or say what you're thankful for this evening?
Yes. My testimony tonight is I just want to praise God and thank Him for letting me be healthy, blessing me with a healthy and successful family, awesome relationship, and for also having an awesome relationship with Him. I can't stop praising Him, and He's just awesome.
Amen.
Amen. Would the spiritual leaders like to give some words of encouragement to our young followers?
I just encourage you, Rachel, just to continue just to give God praise. Because truly He is worthy. He's awesome. And as the Bible says, that a man will praise His name. So continue just to give Him praise and honor and glory. And the more you praise Him and thank Him and reverence Him, He will continue to shower His blessing. His faithfulness will continue to shower upon you. You begin to have faith in Him as you continue to put your trust and praise Him. So I'm just happy that you are giving God the praise, honor, and glory, because truly He deserves all our praise. He wouldn't even be here today. He wouldn't even be here right now. If it wasn't for Him. So therefore, we ought to give God some praise and just thank Him every time we get a chance. Make His name known, let others know of His goodness, encourage ourselves, and just continue to praise our way through. And when the praises go up, as the songwriter has written, the blessings come down. So the more we praise Him, the more He will prove Himself faithful on our behalf. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And just concurring with what Minister Cheryl just said, it's important for us to understand that God is our all in all. And when we acknowledge Him in everything that pertains to us, that's what He desires, and we will be blessed by that. Amen. Yeah. It's a good thing to know that God is... provides for all of our needs. Amen. We just have to keep our minds focused on Him and continue to look to Him. Look to Him from the hills, which cometh all our help, and knowing that all our help comes from the Lord. I love Proverbs, the third chapter, the fifth through the sixth verse, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. And God has a way of making that which is crooked straight. We just have to stay focused and continue to give him all the honor, the praise, and the glory, because he's worthy of all of that and then some.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. I love the way the sister put it. She said, she used the word praise several times in her testimony, and, you know, he inhabits the praises of his people. So when you inhabit something, you hold it very closely and very intimately. So our praises is what moves God.
Amen.
The more we praise him, the more he's moved to do what he has promised through his word that he would do. So I bless God for that on tonight.
That's right.
Amen.
His mighty promises. He doesn't lie. So we can stand on his promises. If he
says,
I'm going to do it, he's going to do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. What we do at ZQ Palace is we try to set a format or a foundation for people of all ages to be able to pour in and give their testimony or say what they're thankful for. So we don't discriminate whatsoever on any race, gender, or age. We say everyone is welcome. So I just wanted to thank Rachel for calling in. She's actually one of our ushers at church. And I've been saying, call in. You know, and they're always also nervous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I said, they're always so nervous. You know, and I tell them, I'm like, go ahead.
Go ahead, baby. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, it's okay. I say that they're very nervous, so I like to tell them, you know, oh, pretend like you're text messaging or you're on the computer, which you're always.
Or, and the thing that I was going to say is what I tell my students, my voice students, when I'm teaching them voice lessons, I tell them, move yourself out of the way because it's not about you. And that if we realize that The one who we're praising about and talking about is far more important than, you know, the whole thing is to take the concentration off yourself and put it on him. And when we realize how awesome and how great he is, then we all embarrassment, fears, all of that is removed out of the way. And I tell him, focus on his greatness. And that alone will just allow your heart to pour out how good he is, how great he is. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. We do have a lot of people listening to the show, so I just want to just let everyone know, those of you who are listening on your cell phone or your house phone, you have to press 1 to go on the air. Anyone that's listening from their PC, the number to call is 646-200-3838 and press 1 to go on the air. Just to call in and say what you're thankful for or give your testimony.
Amen. And you know, Lavinia, just continuing on the theme with the concern for the children, one of the things that I'm very adamant about is that when you're dealing with children, you're talking to children, you don't need what they don't need is someone coming to them with a critical voice.
That's right.
It's too quick. We're too quick as adults to want to talk about what the child is not doing. They know it. They know that, and they hear that all the time. Matter of fact, they've heard some things that ought not have ever been spoken to a child. Something like, you're never going to amount to anything because you're just like your father. Or, you were a mistake, and I wish you were never born. That's why they turn to the things that they turn to, the drugs, the violence, the gangs, very different alternative lifestyle. Because they're not receiving the type of interaction and love that they should be getting from those that should be providing that to them. So one of the things that I'm real adamant about is that, you know, if you're going to come to try to assist a child or whatever, don't come with a critical voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what's needed. That doesn't help anybody, whether you're dealing
that's
with a child or an adult. You can't encourage somebody by beating them down.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how you encourage someone.
That's
you find ways. You find ways to lift them up.
Right. And the Bible says, God says, through my loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Ah,
so
there you go.
You're right. You know, we have to watch our what we say and how we say it, not just what we say, but what we say and how we say it.
Absolutely.
So that we can win them over and be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And like you said, not be so quick to judge them or pound them down. But these babies are just really wanting love, that's all.
That's right.
That's right.
They really wanting love.
And, you know, I think that's part of the problem. I completely agree with everyone because where I work is with teenage girls from the age of 13 to 19 years old. And a lot of them, you know, they say, you know, their mothers, you know, or their fathers, the mother will say, you know, you were a mistake, you know, and because
that's
of
right.
you, your father's not here. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
like they beat them down mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're
yes.
breaking them down slowly but surely, but it's messing up their self-esteem. It's even when they deal with people, it's
absolutely.
Messing them up, some of them. You know, it's amazing how people, after they beat them down mentally, then they try
yeah.
and say, it's not my fault that you're acting the way that you're acting.
Right.
I didn't do anything to you when you just mentally destroyed them.
That's right.
You know, how are they going to, you know, heal? You broke them down mentally.
Yes.
So, you know, I find myself, you know, speaking to a lot of parents, and they're asking, okay, what should I do? You should sit down with your child. Don't yell at them. Sit and talk
mm-hmm.
to them. Actually listen to what they have to say. Because with society, the way that it is, you're going to allow society to raise your child for you.
That's right.
You're pushing them out into the streets. You're not bringing them home, and you're not embracing them. You're pushing them out because you're not listening. You know, you went from boyfriend to boyfriend or girlfriend to girlfriend, and at this point, you don't have time for the child. The child is looking for love, and love is free. It doesn't force you anything at all. You know,
mm-hmm.
you just need to have time. And my question that I was going to ask everyone is, when you meet people and they have children, and when you meet someone who doesn't have a child, but yet the person that doesn't have a child can embrace your child, it's a blessing. And
amen.
At my place of employment, what ended up happening is the lady, you know, she stepped in and she said, you know what, I'll take your child. Now, she only had known her for like a couple of months, and she explained to the parent, you know, she'll take her child, I'll take her. You know, she can come and live with me. You know, the mother would rather send her to a facility then send her with someone who was opening her home for her.
I
said, you know, you don't want to get to know the lady, you don't want to get to know her. I mean, you guys don't live too far from each other. You guys are able to connect on different levels. And she said, no, she's terrible. She ruined my life. She ruined my marriage. I'd rather her go into a facility so this way she can't ruin anyone else's life. I was just like in awe because I couldn't believe that this is what she was actually saying to complete strangers and to a person
wow.
that said, I'll take your child. I know what you're going through. I'll take your child. So, you know, my question is, you know, with society being the way this is and with the movement that the sisters are doing, Kitra Williams and Sister Chrissy, and then with Minister Weatherby, you have both your books, you know, Check the DNA and Unless God Builds a House. What do you tell people like that? You know, after you bring
yes.
them down mentally, how do you bring them back?
My mom. The love of Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Sister, I'd just like to say that I believe that what one needs to do is check themselves. You know, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves in the Lord.
That's right.
And this is the problem. This is hear me well. We cannot give what we don't have.
Right.
And there's a thing that goes hurting people hurt people.
Yes.
And so if you've been downtrodden and ostracized and ridiculed and smiting by all these bad relationships, what you need to do is fall on your face before the Lord and ask God
That's
to heal you first, because you can't get healing if you're not healed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why these parents are doing what they're doing, because they're lashing out because they're just not equipped to give what the child needs. And
exactly.
so
The thing you can do is come to grips with where they are. Where are you? Ask the question. Where? Be real with yourself. Where am I in the Lord? Where am I in life? Where am I in this situation? Instead of me pointing the finger at her and him and it and everything and everybody else, then let me examine myself. Help me, Lord, to examine myself. Help me get well so that I can bring healing to others.
And that's where it starts. An excellent point, Sister Kittra. The great physician can heal from the inside out. And once that healing takes place, then all other provision is made. So it's just, again, as you state, a matter of wellness with the individual, spiritual wellness. Then they can begin to love and nurture.
And that's right. It's easy to say, you need to do that, you need to do this, you maybe you should try this, and maybe, but if they don't have it in them, they don't have the wisdom, knowledge, or understanding as to where to start from point A, then we can't hold them accountable. But what we can hold them accountable to is falling on their face before the Lord, because we all got to see it face to face one day, and we all will be held accountable to God for our relationship with him and where
that's
we are
right.
with him. So we have a duty, okay, and an obligation to get it right with God first and then reach out.
Amen.
That's right.
And
you know what? And for some of us, we may not understand what we need to do until we get into a relationship with God. For some of us don't understand that in the Word of God, it clearly shows us that according to the things that we did against God, we should be consumed. He should never, ever have ever done anything in our favor based upon what we, mankind, did against God. But yet he still loved us. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, he died for us.
That's right.
He came down and gave up his life for us. You know, we love that scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then there's the other scripture in John that says, 15:13, that no greater love does a man have than this, than when he lay down his life for his friend. God did all that for us while we were alienated and separated from him. And and we have to really have to get into God and the Word of God to understand that type of love, because it's that type of love that is needed for us to be able to love our children and to love one another and to love ourselves. One of the things that really is disturbing for me, when I was in the secular world working with the Social Security Administration, one of the things that really, really disturbed me was so many youth, parents, mothers were coming in filing for disability for their children, supplemental security income disability, based upon diagnosis that was given to them by the school system, ADD, HDD, and all those DDs, attention deficit disorders and things of that nature. And it just disturbed me how easily mothers were willing to allow that label to be placed upon their children. Now, I understand that there are psychological issues, there are emotional issues, but one thing that I was very clear upon, and I know that this was not being addressed by the school system, that if there's something going on with a child, you better believe it begins in that home.
That's right.
Yeah. There's something going on in that home that's affecting that child's behavior.
That's right. That's right.
And the schools are not willing to get involved with that, because that's too much work. That requires too much resources. And they got limited resources as it is, so they're not willing to engage in that. So what they're quick to do is to label the child, warehouse them, put them in a special education class, get them on a special drug, and then just set them outside and get them into a system of feeling that, you know, there's nothing that I can do. I'm always going to be messed up. I had people 35 years old coming to me telling me they wanted to file for disability because they were a slow learner.
Oh, my goodness.
A slow learner. Well, where did you get that diagnosis? When I was in school.
Wow.
Things like that stick with people. So that's why I said it's very important what we talked about earlier about how we talk to people, how we speak to people and encourage people, because you can beat people down for anything, you know, just because a person doesn't do something the way that somebody else does. I'm more apt to say that makes you unique. You don't have to do it the way somebody else does it. And another thing, don't try to make a child perfect. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. Stop holding them to a standard that neither they nor you will ever be able to attain. Perfection ain't in us. It ain't in us to be perfect. God doesn't even expect it of us. But what he does expect is when you're in a relationship with him, then you will allow his spirit to lead you into that area of perfection that he doesn't talk about perfection in the same sense that we're talking about. He talks about completion. And that completion is in him. So I'm real adamant about the fact that the lot of problems that we have in our families and other relationships is because God is absent. He's been absent over the last several decades in all areas. They snatched him out of school. We snatched him and threw him out of the home, and now we got what we have, a mess.
What we're going to do real fast, we have a couple more callers to come on the air. So we're going to go to a song, and then we're going to bring on a couple callers. Everyone just stay on the line, okay?
Yes,
amen.
Ma'am.
Okay. Amen.
Right here.
welcome back to GQ Palace. I just want to apologize to everyone because that was loud, and I did not realize how loud that was.
Okay.
So I do want to apologize to everyone. We're going to bring on a caller. Welcome to GQ Palace, Mutual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
My name is Carl Lowe. Can you hear me?
Oh. Yes, I can hear you. How are you doing?
I'm blessed.
Would you like to give your testimony or say what you're thankful for this evening?
I just thank God for his mercy. I thank God that even when we don't know it and don't deserve it, he's still merciful because he has a plan, even when we're ignorant of it. You know, I grew up on the streets of Detroit, gang-banging and selling drugs from the time I was 12. I gang-banged for a few years. I got tired of that because I wasn't making money fast enough. So I started selling drugs. I just called it the devil promoted me. And then by the time I got 16, I had been caught up with some of the dope men in my area and passed some of them. And then I got shot. I had some guys who tried to rob us. And I got shot in my head and I got shot in my neck. I went into a coma instantly. I was in a coma for a week. The young lady got shot in her chest. She died. The guy got shot in his chest. He died. They both died instantly. I was DOA at the hospital. I told my family I was going to die, or if I lived, I would be a vegetable. I have permanent brain damage, and thank God a bunch of other stuff didn't come to pass. Of course, that left the left side of my body paralyzed, so I couldn't do nothing. I was pretty much lay on my back. My life changed for that moment. I started getting better after about a month. I left that hospital, went to Detroit Children's Hospital, getting better. Started going home on the whole time when I was in the first hospital. The only thing I had on my mind was getting back into the street.
Mm-hmm.
I got over there in the next hospital, started getting better, started going home on the weekends visiting, and boom, I started right back again. The shot did not change my life. You gave me no second thoughts about trying to change. Most people say, well, something like that, I don't know. You'd be the same way when you got sin in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed in that hospital a month and left there and went to the Church Rehabilitation Institute. I got over there. I wasn't there for about a month and a half. I got kicked out the hospital for selling weed in the hospital. And still going at it, still going at it. And about a year and a half after that, in my bedroom, watching TV, getting high, getting ready to go gambling. I just heard me turn on the television. I heard the gospel. Hey, I believe in God. I went to church on Easter, got baptized when I was 10 and all that.
Oh,
that
you
would be more. But that day in my bedroom when I heard the gospel and believed it and received him and got delivered. I mean, I got delivered from drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, gambling. I got delivered.
Hmm.
You know, the word salvation, actually, rendering of it is delivered. I got delivered. I've been delivered 32 years straight.
Amen.
And, you know, I heard earlier the brother talking about how these parents putting their kids on Social Security to get that money. The scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. You'll sell your kids, you'll sell your soul. The love of money is the root of all evil. And the church for so long has been on the outside looking in complaining and finding fault when we have the answer. We are the answer. Jesus, when we prayed, he said, Father, I don't pray you take them out of the world, but that you keep them in the world and keep them from the evil. And then he told us to go into all the world with the good news. We're sent to go. You know, but people want to play religion and play church. It ain't. And God is raising up a new generation.
All right, sir.
And there's a separation going on. The kingdom of God is increasing. Mm-hmm. And I come in the church. I just realized this year I bypassed how the Spirit of God led me back, bypassed the traditions of men and religion, and got me right into the movement of God. I mean, I wasn't saved 3 months before I was out on the street sharing the gospel with people. They didn't say. Well, there's people, I come to the church, they've been saved 15, 20, 30 years. Ain't never shared the gospel with nobody. And it's not, most of that I heard when I first got on the call, I heard somebody was talking about relationship with God. You know, and the preacher's not teaching people how to have a relationship with God. And so people expecting the leaders to do all their praying for them, all their study for them, instead of showing them by example how to go before the Father themselves, so they can, the scripture says that the people who know their God shall be strong. The people who just go to church and sing songs, but the people who know God, who got a relationship with Him, shall be strong and do exploits. The people who know God, and God has given our generation so much. And we know Jesus said, "Who much is given, much is required." And much is being required of us, because much is being required of us, less is being done for us. Okay? The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has authority and has power that we can exercise on purpose within the grounds of the will of God. And most of the will of God has already been revealed to us in His written word.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, until the church rises up and take her place, the world is going to be still dealing with some, and some people that in the church that's messing around in the world are going to keep dealing with some issues. You know, the church, we want to counsel demons out of people, and no, a lot of the stuff that's happening is because the church is not doing what Jesus said, cast the devil out.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going around that same mountain, keep going around that same mountain, and getting weary, saying, waiting on God. No, we're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Waiting on God. He's already did everything that needs to be done.
Amen.
His Son, raised Him from the dead, sent the Holy Ghost, gave us His word, gave us His strength, gave us His joy, gave us His peace. What more do we need?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, what would you tell someone? What would you tell someone who is going through something similar to what you went through? What would you tell them?
God left you here. He has a purpose for you, and the enemy has a counterfeit purpose for you. And until you commit yourself, not just make a decision, not just acknowledge in your head, but make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to keep going around in a circle. It's going to keep being unfulfilled. It's going to keep coming up empty-handed. But you don't have to. Say enough is enough.
Yeah.
And call on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
But it's your decision.
Mm-hmm.
You like where you're at?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Some people say they don't like where they're at. But then they don't move them on that. You like where you are. You care what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was trying to figure out there's like some echoing or something going on, so I was trying to figure out where it was coming from.
Sister Polite?
Yes.
Okay, this is Sister Ketra. I just wanted to thank God for that gentleman and his powerful testimony, and let him know that we will definitely be praying, continually praying for his strength in the Lord. I'm actually going to have to leave right now, but I don't know what Sister Chrissy, if she could stay on a little longer or not. But I do want to just thank you for this opportunity and for sharing and for helping us get the word out and joining us in our efforts that are so much needed. And I want to ask you all to please continue to keep me and Sister Chrissy and the Milieu Peace March and all who joins with us in your prayers.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you wouldn't mind just giving out the information again one more time, if you could, because we do have a lot more listeners in at this point, so I just don't want anyone to miss it. So if you wouldn't just give the information out again.
Yes, that phone number is 202-455-8871. And we're looking for volunteers. We need choir members. We need talent for our main stage. There is a small registration fee for the main stage talent, but we are there's no fee to participate in the march. It is a free demonstration. We're looking for keynote speakers because we realize that youth, they talk each other's language. So our goal is to encourage the youth to encourage each other against this gun violence and stuff. So we're looking for youth, leaders and mentors and organizations that will call us and join us in our efforts to get the word out and encourage our babies and embrace them with love and let them know that God can meet them right where they are. The email address is millionyouthpeacemarch@gmail.com. You can send resumes in there. If you want to send donations and CDs and bios for your the main stage or sponsorship donations, Sister Chrissy has that information.
Yes, that information, thank you, Sister Kittrick, can be sent to Torch of Hope, Inc., P.O. Box 83, Bryans Road, and Bryans is B-R-Y-A-N-S, and the word road spelled out, Maryland, 20616. Again, Torch of Hope, Inc., P.O. Box 83, Bryans Road, Maryland, 20616. And our website is www.torchofhope.com. All one word, torchofhopeconsulting.org.
And I just want to take a few minutes out to thank both of you for joining us this evening. And
thank you.
Ms. Williams, we will
thank
definitely
you.
Be in contact because we have some work to do.
Yes,
and we
baby.
Will continue. We will definitely continue to spread the word and get as many people to participate, get as many
thank
people
you.
Just to support if they can't make it there. And
God.
We'll be in contact this week so we can start, you know, we can get everything going from, you know, a New York standpoint. We're excited
Amen.
To be
I'm
working
excited.
Here.
God bless
All
you.
Right.
Thank you so much, baby. Keep us in your prayers.
Right.
We love you.
Hope you will. Thank you.
God
love you.
Okay. Okay.
Sister Chrissy
okay.
is running. Sister Chrissy is still here.
Okay. You're still there? Okay.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to bring on another caller. Just bear. Well, actually, before we do that, I'm going to go to everyone that's on the line. If you would like to give some words of encouragement to Brother Lowe, I think that's what it is, Brother Lowe.
Mm-hmm.
Just some words of encouragement
yes.
to him. Because he definitely has a powerful testimony, and I know that
yes.
anyone that's listening, that's going through a similar situation, they can just hear his testimony, and they can actually be able to help themselves, and he can possibly be saving a life just based on his testimony alone.
Brother Bo, I'm just encouraged by your testimony. The scripture that popped up in my mind was Jeremiah 29:11, which
mm-hmm.
says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And even though you went through what you went through, you made up the decision to get your life right with Christ. And in doing that, the end that he has you, the end that you will have is expected end in Christ. And I'm excited about your future and what you're doing, being an effective witness. I know that you were saying, you know, there are churches out there or there have been people in Christ, you said, who are not being that effective witness, and which is true. But for you to go through what you have gone through and share your testimony with us and with others, God is going to surely bless you. So it's just my prayer that God would just continue to give you holy boldness from on high to just be able to proclaim his truth and to be able to share your testimony with others, to let others know that God has called us to do a great work for him. He made us free will beings. He doesn't force himself on us, but once we make up in our mind to get right with him, he will blow our minds. He will bless us like never before. And the safest place that we can ever be is in the veil and safety of Almighty God. He has so much in store for us. He created us and he made us in his likeness. And we were created to make his name glorious. And we were created to do his will. And once we come to that realization, our life will never be the same. And what you experienced was not just for you, but it was for you to share that testimony and to be a light example to others. A lot of times we go through things we may not understand, but, you know, we will understand it. Like the older people used to say, we'll understand it better by and by, the process in which we go through. So you are definitely more than a conqueror, Brother Lowe. Always remember that. And always understand that God has great things in store for you. The best is yet to come because you made up in your mind to accept Christ and you didn't allow your circumstance to get the best of you. But in that you're a conqueror through Jesus Christ and you overcame through Jesus Christ, and in that you're able to become an effective witness for him. So God bless you.
Amen, amen. And just to concur and add on to what Minister Cheryl just said, Brother Lowe, one thing that I was assured of when I was listening to you talk is that thank God that you know who you are in him and not who you were. Because too many people are too quick to want to take our past and want to continue to cloak us in our past about what we did and how we did this and how we lived our life. That's all well and good, because to tell you the truth, I tell people straight up, I'm not going to ever deny what I did in my past life. I'm not going to ever act like that was somebody different. No, that was me, but that was my old life. And God used that to bring me to my present so he can launch me into my future. And one thing that I was assured of, and listening as you were talking, brother, you're very confident about and assured of your relationship with the Lord, and you have that conviction, that power, and that passion that allows you to be able to speak to folks that are maybe going through some of the similar things today. And you know what I know? The reason why God gives us our experiences so that when we go and talk to somebody, they'll know it's real. Because people don't need to hear theory. They don't need to hear some textbook theory about a certain type of lifestyle that we don't know nothing about. And that's not glorifying that old life, but God gave it to us. We have this experience. And now I can tell you how I made it over. And I'm so glad to hear that, because I know that for the most part, you know, we get this bad rap. I was sitting here thinking while everything was going on, I said, you know what, God, I'm considered to be a freak of nature with the black man, because I don't fit the mold. I'm sorry, I don't have a long jail history. I don't have that history. I'm not uneducated, and I've not been without a job. You know, but that's not to say that I'm perfect, because I have had things that I've done in my life. I know drugs, I know alcohol, I know gangs. But thank God, that's the old me. But I'm a new creation, and that's what I was getting when I was listening to you, bro. So you just continue on. I see that. I know that God already has a great work for you, and you're already operating in your purpose, because you know his plan for your life. And like you said, we have to understand one thing. I hear a lot of people say this sometimes, that they don't know what God's purpose is. They don't know what their purpose is in the Lord. That just does not make sense to me. Because if you listen to the Holy Spirit, he will tell you exactly what God's purpose is. We like to snatch hold of that scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse, where it says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those who love him." That's how we snatch hold of that scripture and say, "I don't know my purpose." That's not scripture, wasn't for you. That's for the unsaved person. When you read on the 10th through the 16th verses, you'll see where it says that, but it has been revealed unto you by the Spirit of God. So we know our purpose. We know our plan in God. We just have to adhere and listen to the Spirit and commit ourselves, commit our ways unto God. And when you allow that to happen, the Lord will direct your steps. He orders the steps of a good man, and he delights in his ways. And I'm just very confident and assured, bro, that your experience was for a purpose, and God is already using you to that end. So I'm just continue to keep on. I'm just going to encourage you to keep on doing what God already has had you doing in, over these last number of years that you've been walking with him.
Amen. Amen. Brother Lowe, I'd like to encourage you in the Lord. I love your tenacity and your confidence in who God is and how he has delivered you. The scripture that comes to mind is St. Luke chapter 4, verses 18, verse 18 and 19. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And I believe God is going to use you in such a mighty way to reach those who have experienced similar situations, and if not the same, situations that you found yourself in, of how God has delivered you out. You have a testimony, and I can just hear, I feel an echo, but your voice is going to be used in the land to deliver so many that are either in it, on the brink of it, or have just come out of it. You have a powerful testimony, and I just pray that God use you as an instrument to speak his word and to repair the ill for the brokenhearted.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And her call actually just dropped. What we're going to do is we're just going to go to a song, and then we're going to come back and take a couple more callers, okay?
Amen.
Amen.
God's opportunity.
God's chance.
It ain't over. It ain't over. I don't care what you're going through. Feels like you're down for the last count. It ain't over. Feels like you cried your last tear. Not over. Not over. Not over. Not over. God has the final say. God has the final say. God has the final say. That said you wouldn't make it, but God has the final say. That said you won't be nothing, but God has the final say.
Welcome back to GC Dallas Spiritual Sunday. We're just going to take a couple more callers, okay?
Amen.
Okay. Welcome to Tiki Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Hi, this is Kia. How is everybody?
Hey, Kia. How are you doing?
Amen.
Hi, I'm just going to be short today. I'm just thanking God for allowing me to see a new day. I'm just thanking God for just who the person who he is. Just being God and being an on-time God. A God when you need him, a God you can just call him. I'm thanking God for my mother. Thanking God for my mother for, you know, she wasn't feeling well, you know, these past couple of days. But I just thank God for just keeping her strength up and keeping her in her body, you know, at peace. It was a great message today at church. You know, I had a great message today at church. I always go to church, get a great message. That message will carry me for the week. I thank God for my pastor. Thank God for his 38th anniversary that's going on, coming to a close. I just thank God for giving him the strength because he goes through, you know, Christian, like a lot of preachers, go through a lot. So I thank God for, you know, just keeping him in first family. I ask, you know, that you all that know the words in prayer to keep pray for me as I do likewise.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. With the spiritual leaders,
I'd
like to give some words of encouragement.
Key, I just want to just encourage you just to continue to give God praise. And as you was talking, one thing that came to my mind was God. He's a God that we can always lean and depend on no matter what we're going through. And he's a God that keeps his promises. And by us just giving him thanks and adoration and giving him praise, he will definitely work on our behalf. It doesn't matter what we experience. I thank God that your mother is feeling better. Our God is a healer. He's everything that we would need him to be in our life. He is our source, our strength. He is our resting place. He is our help in the time of trouble. God is just an awesome God, and I agree with you. God is just great, and it's a blessing just to be able, as you said, to go to church, to get a word from God, and we get a word and we can be able to feast off of that word and apply his holy word to our life. And once we do that, his word will come alive in our lives when we apply his word to our life, when we're encouraged, and he gives us strength from day to day, that no matter what situation, no matter what circumstance that's ahead, once we have that word in our hearts, that heart, we're able to be all that he wants us to be and all that he created us to be. So may God bless you even with the anniversary that you all have for your pastor. May God just continue to bless your church. May God continue just to put a song in your heart. May you continue to give God thanks for all that he does, and continue to do for you. God bless you.
Can I say this last thing? It's a friend of mine. She was going through so much stuff, and my pastor said a word. He said something today. He says, there's some stuff the devil took. I want to tell him to keep it. So I shared that with her. You know, it just, I told her to pray on that because, it's, you know, when he said that she needed to be, I told her to come back to church next Sunday because he's preaching time for you to make a change. He's going out in Romans, I think he's going out in Philippians on that passage. So I've shared that with her. He said there's some stuff that the devil took. I want to tell him to keep it. And I just wanted to say I know a friend of mine is going through so much, and, you know, she's burning my business, and it just, that came up to me, came up when he said that. I shared that with her.
And I might have to share that with someone, I must tell you.
Yeah, but he shared that today.
because, you know, I know at my place of employment, you know, you go through so much, but, you know, I just say I pray for everything, you know. Tia, I want to say happy anniversary to your pastor as well, you know. And
thank you.
I'm sure with the way that, you know, your upbringing is and how you're just fully committed, you know, you will continue to be blessed to do many things. Minister Weatherson, would you like to give words of encouragement?
Amen. Just keep praising God. Good times, bad times, indifferent times. He's worthy of all the praise. And one of the things that I'm assured of, that even more so than praising him when things are going good, it's good to praise him when things are going bad. Praise him before you even get whatever it is that you're praising him for. Is very important, because in the midst of our praise is where he inhabits. And if we're going through something negative, praise him right there for the victory that's yet to come. And then stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen. And we're just going to bring on one more caller with us. Welcome to GQ Kind of Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Good evening. This is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Rachel number two. We had another Rachel earlier.
This is the Rachel that normally calls in on a Sunday late
The
show. But I listen to the whole show, as I always do, and I always get so much out of it. So grateful. So grateful. I'm grateful to just be listening to. I use this phrase because I picked it up on one of the shows. Kingdom-minded people, worshiping and talking and conversing and just learning and taking in what I need to be taking in, because so often I'm around the exact opposite, you know. So it's hard. It's hard to, you know. I'm a constant prayer. And I'm always giving praise to God, so I know I'm enabling for these people, because while they're cursing and doing this and doing that, I'm just bouncing and just praising and clapping my hands ever so often. They look at me like I'm crazy, but I know what I'm doing the right thing. It's not easy in my everyday struggle. I'm surrounded by so much negativity. But I work hard. I pray. I'm a prayer warrior, constantly praying and constantly working hard. I'm just asking, as usual, just for some prayer, and I know the word of prayer, and I'm definitely praying for you all, and I love you all.
God bless you.
Oh, thank you. God bless you, my sister. And I just want to take a minute out and just thank you, because in the beginning part of the week, I was losing it, you know, and I made a couple statements, and you called me, and you said, see, you always call me, now I'm calling you. And, you know, and I thank you for definitely being a listening ear, you know, for me, you know, at my time of need. And I just thank you. I thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, I want to
thank you. Got me all emotional.
Well, you are welcome. I want to thank you, for always checking in on me when I cry out to you and tell you how stressed out I am. And I want to thank you for being, you know, the strong woman that you are, and let you know that I see you. And I know that everyone else around you sees you. And may God continue to bless you. I love you.
Oh, I love you too. I'm going to go to the spiritual leaders for words of encouragement. And then what we're going to do is we're going to end in prayer, and then, I'll go to the spiritual leaders for words of encouragement, and then we'll just take it from there.
God bless you, Sister Rachel. I just want to just encourage you just to continue to be that light and example in the environment that you're in. As the Bible says, for us to pray without ceasing, and you're doing it. I know that right now, it may not feel good with all of the cussing and the negativity, but I want you to know that you are being a light and example. And people are watching your walk, And I truly believe that people will be changed and delivered and set free just by you being the example. Sometimes God does put us in situations where we have to be that light, where we have to be that example. And God has placed you there for a reason. First of all, he knew that you could handle it. And there are people who need to see Christ. So I just encourage you. I will be lifting you up even on tomorrow or even this evening as we get off, that God would just continue to give you his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as what to do, how to approach his people. But God, that God just continue to just do a mighty work in your life for you, you know, being there and being that example. May God just continue just to bless you, just for you being one of his, being chosen, not compromising, but you just letting your light shine for the kingdom. And that's what God needs, people who are going to take a stand regardless. May God just continue to allow you to influence them. Because, like I said, people are watching you, and people know that there's something peculiar about you. And that is Jesus Christ reigning and ruling in your life. And may you just continue to touch the lives of his people. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. And we're just yet praying for Holy Ghost boldness to continue to maintain and keep the faith in spite of all the things that may be going on around us. And that's so important because we have to be mindful that we ought not be ashamed of the relationship that we have with God. And there is no compromising in the faith. Amen. Others may want to act a certain way and want to do or say whatever they want to say, but when we're in a relationship with the Lord, that ought not be the way of those that belong to him. So just continue to, you know, to be strong there and not be ashamed of the relationship that you have with Christ, because only what we do for Christ will last. If we look to please men, we're destined for failure because we can never do enough to please man. Our focus should be on pleasing God and allow what we do to be pleasing in his sight. So just continue to maintain the faith and Holy Ghost boldness just to stand firm on the relationship that you have with him, unshakable and unmovable in the faith.
Oh, I like that. Say that one more time. Amen.
Unshakable and unmovable.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What we're going to do at this time is, if anyone has any information that they want to give out, they can give out the information. And then we're going to end in prayer. And once we're finished with prayer, GQ Palace has a new show tonight is the first night that it's going to be on. It's called Messenger of Light with Mr. Eric Vandross. So he'll be starting his show right after Spiritual Sunday. Those of you that want to continue to be on the air, you can just, we'll mute you, and then once he starts taking his callers, you can go on and speak to him and see what he has in store for us this evening. So are there any announcements that needs to be made this evening?
I see the hour is short. I'm going to pass.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. Okay. Minister, well, I just want to thank everyone for joining us. I know it's first Sunday. I know it's a lot going on with getting communion and everything, but I thank you all for taking the time out for joining us and just being wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people, wonderful women and men of God. Minister Miller, can you end in prayer for us this evening?
Yes, ma'am. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're just truly grateful, dear God, for your goodness, your kindness. God, we're truly grateful for your tender mercies, Father. We just thank you for your loving kindness. We just thank you, God, for how you look beyond our faults and see our needs, dear God. We just thank you for this time and this opportunity to give your name praise, honor, and glory. God, for truly you are worthy to be praised and adored. This is a day that you have made, and we thank you because you gave us the mind to want to rejoice in you all day, dear God. We thank you, Father God, for just giving us a mind to want to reverence you right now, dear God. we just thank you, Lord, for everything that has been said. We thank you, Father God, for the two sisters, Father, who are being a blessing to the youth of today. We ask in Jesus' name that you will continue to give them your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, dear God, to continue to be there for your children. Father, we pray, oh God, that you would just have your way in their life, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, oh God, even for all of those, God, who called in for prayer. God, you know what they stand in the need of. And we pray, God, that you will just have your way in all of their lives. We pray, Father God, that you will continue to give them a mind of Christ to put you first, oh God, so that you may order their steps, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we even pray for GQ Towers. We pray for this wonderful radio station. We thank you, oh God, for Sister Medina. Father God, we thank you for all she's doing for the kingdom of God. And we ask you just to continue to anoint her and use her like never before in this season. Father, we pray, oh God, that she will continue to put you first and that, God, you will give her favor and increase in the name of Jesus, that you will just bless her and her entire family. Continue to also be with rich money as well. We pray, God, that you continue to touch his body. We pray right now in Jesus' name that you send out your healing power and your healing virtue upon him. But by your stripes, he is healed. God, we thank you, oh God, again, for all of the callers. I lift up right now our last caller. I lift up before you, Sister Rachel. We just pray, oh God, that you would just continue just to have your way in her life. We pray, oh God, that you would just continue to lead God and direct her in the way that she should go. We just pray, Father God, that you would just allow her to lean unto you, Father God. Help her to understand and realize, Father God, that power belongs to you. And that you are with her always, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for each and every caller. Those, Father God, who called with testimonies. We even pray for the young lady, Sister Rachel, the other little young lady. We ask you continue to bless her and have your way in her life as a young person. Continue to lead God in the right in the way that she should go. We pray, oh God, for Sister Kia as well.
Okay, I think we just lost Minister Miller. Is everyone else still there?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. And just thank everyone again for joining us, because I don't know if she actually be able to call back in, but I'm sure that she will understand that we thank her for taking the time out for joining us and for ending in prayer for us this evening.
Amen.
Amen.
And with that being said, we're going to turn the show over to Messenger of Light with Eric Bendrell. Thank you for joining us.
One of the most.
Scarlet, let's go get him!
Give me that joy I can't explain. An extra piece that'll ease my pain. Come on, that love that'll never change. Give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that. Give me that power to walk away. When another God wants to take your place, as much of you as I can take. Give me that, give me that.
Oh, oh, oh. Anybody ready? Ready for his glory.
Uh-oh.
If you are sick of a life,
uh-oh.
Let me tell you the story.
Uh-oh.
Every place that's dark,
uh-oh.
He will bring it to light.
Uh-oh.
Hypocritical hearts, backsliders, liars, time to get right.
Uh-oh.
See, I include myself.
Uh-oh.
I cast my own stone.
Uh-oh.
I'm the man in the mirror, y'all.
Uh-oh.
I can see my Christ by faith.
Uh-oh.
I had to make that choice. I had to open up my mouth and say,
give me that joy I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll ease my pain. All that love that'll never change. Give me that,
give me that,
give me that,
give me that.
Give me that power to walk away when another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that.
the show to end.
Uh-oh.
Get the actors off stage.
Uh-oh.
And let church begin.
Uh-oh.
Do you want a revolution?
Uh-oh.
You want to hear new songs?
Uh-oh.
See, God is cleaning up house.
Uh-oh.
And first he's starting right at home.
Uh-oh.
No more miracle water.
Uh-oh.
Wear clothes for money and fame.
Uh-oh.
See, everybody got a title. But do you know your name?
Uh-oh.
If we humble ourselves, people
Uh-oh.
Fall on our face.
Uh-oh.
And ask God, everything in me that's not right, take it away.
Yeah, give me that joy that I can't explain. That extra peace that'll ease the pain. I want that love that'll never change. Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Ooh, I want the power to walk away. When another God wants to take your place. Much of you, Lord, as I could take.
I see you.
Give me that.
One more time.
Give me that.
One more time.
Yeah, give me that joy that I can't explain. And it's the peace that'll ease the pain. I want that love that'll never change. Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Ooh, give me the power to walk away. When another God wants to take your place. Much of you as I can take. Give me that. Give me that.
Come on.
And I choose you. Of man, sovereign God who predestined creation before time began. I want the God who with brilliance and elegance decorated darkness with stars. The God who orchestrates the future at the same time he knows where you are. Give me that God who supplies my needs, cause he owns all the cattle on the hill.
Yeah.
And he's the God who wipes my tears and provides enough to pay all my. And give me that God, that's the God I'm talking about.
Give me that God,
that's the God I'm talking about. Give me that, give me that, give me that. I'm at a loss of words now. I'm so happy you make me happy now. Yeah. Give me that joy I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll add extra peace that'll ease the pain. I want that love that'll never change. Oh, give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I welcome you all to the very first of many, God willing, Messenger of Light, courtesy of GQ Palace Radio. Okay, so we're going to get started tonight. We have a great show planned for you all. First, I'd definitely like to open up in prayer and give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Almighty God. Dear gracious and eternal Father, Lord, we come before you now with humble hearts. We come before you with sincerity, Lord. We come before you being about our Father's business. Lord, I ask that the Holy Ghost speak through each and every person, including myself, on this radio program tonight, Lord. For we know that the purpose of this medium right now is to win souls to Christ, to unite souls that are lost to Christ, and also to provide the spiritual nourishment that is needed to sustain them, the body of Christ. Lord, I ask your wonderful blessings to be bestowed upon our topic of discussion leader tonight, my own pastor, Nathaniel Sweeting. Lord, I ask you to be all in our midst, Lord, that you strengthen us where we're weak, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, now, I'd like to give special thanks to our CEO, Rich Money, and also his fiance and host of Spiritual Sunday, Miss Lavina Polite. We can give it up for them. God is good today. God is good. All right, so what we're going to do right now is go to... First, let me just go ahead and, for those that are not acquainted with myself, my name is Eric Ventross, and let me just go over a bit about myself. I don't want to spend too much time on me because this is not about me. You know, we're lifting up the name of Jesus, but you should know who your host is. I've done a number of ventures in the entertainment industry, singing, acting, things of that nature, but most recently, I've been on the inspirational writing, really putting out various articles. The Holy Spirit has really been working through me, and I'm thankful for that, blessed in my spirit to be used by him. Let's see. I have my hub pages, which is where I definitely publish a lot of my articles, and which you can view online. And just get more acquainted with that. And, okay, let's see. We're going to go to my daily mantra and holy touch invocation. This is something that I strive to say each and every day. And just, see, the thing is, you have to call things that are not as though they were. That's what the Bible teaches us. So words are very powerful, and we have to speak these things into existence. And I'll start. Thank you, Father God. You are all that and more to me. I give you the praise and offer you the sweet fruit of my lips. Please forgive me of all my transgressions and sins. I praise and worship you in the highest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You love me like no one ever has, can, or ever will. I decide to make you my number one priority, come what may. I just love you, I love you, I love you. When I'm alone, I'm actually not, because you're always here. You've never left my side. And for that, Lord, I thank you, because you would have had every right to leave me in my wrong and degradation. Even when I've strayed away, lost my ever-loving mind, you kept me. And for that, I am ever grateful. You've kept me safe, healthy, and out of harm's way, just like a loving father does. Thank you, Jehovah. You've healed me in so many ways and on so many occasions. And now the holy touch invocation. You touched me just now. I felt your touch. It was warm, a feeling of love, comforting and soothing. Thank you. You touched my heart. What a break. Oh, you touched me, gave me a feeling inside like no one else can. Just a touch. Let me know everything is going to be all right. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. And as I said, you can also find that particular writing on Hub Pages, ericvendross.hubpages.com. All right. right now, let us go ahead and I believe we're going to play a song right now. And yeah, let's go ahead and go to our song right now.
One of the most difficult things to do is find yourself in a storm. While in that storm, it seems like everyone who you thought you could count on has walked away. Sometimes it seems like even God himself has forgotten about you. But in spite of that, you'll still be able to lift your hands and say, Lord, I trust you. Convince you that there's no way you can make it out, and he says you're not going to be able to get out of this situation. But I wish somebody would make the devil out of a lie right now and lift your hands and say, God, I will trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to show up, but God, I know you're going to do it. God, I know you're going to bring me out. Come on, if that's you, come on, lift your voice and say, I will. Oh, that's right, I'll trust you. Hallelujah. Oh God, I don't know when the pains go in, but I know, God, you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. So I trust you in spite of what I see, in spite of what I'm going through. I trust you. God, you've never left me. I know you love me. That's why I trust you. Come on, why you take it up? I had my heart broken. I made some mistakes. God, you still kept me. Oh, God, you're faithful. You see what I'm going through. You know my pain. I trust you. Trust you. I know you're here with me. I'm not by myself. As long as I got you, Jesus, I can make it. I trust you. Yeah. You're by your side. I trust you. Oh, God, I just lost my job, but I got more bills than money, but oh, God, I will. This is why God will make a way.
Trust in the Lord. That's all we can do. Praise God, praise God. So now what we're going to do is we have Pastor Nathaniel Sweeting of Faith Rich Fellowship on the line, and we're going to just go right into our topic of discussion, which is tonight, having a submitted heart unto God. And me and Pastor was talking the other night, and he took it a step further. He says, well, what or who are you submitted to? So let's go ahead and bring Pastor on right now.
Good afternoon, Eric. I'm happy to be with you.
Good evening. It really is an honor for me. I have to say that a lot, most of what I've learned has come through this man of God, and I just want to thank you right now for actually coming on with us.
Love it. God be the glory, and I'm happy to be here again.
Great, great. So, Pastor, can you go ahead and start us off talking on that subject?
Well, just like the other night, we talked about having a submitted heart and the power of submission. I think particularly in this country with the norms that we have, submission has become a bad word. Submission is actually a power. It's a power to submit. The wife is instructed to be submitted to her husband, but in this country that's a hard thing to do because the norms in this country says, you know, what about me? I got mine, you get yours. Only the strong survive, survival of the fittest. And all of those factors that does not lead to submission, when actually submission is the power that gets you to where you need to be. It's a wonderful thing when we understand that we give direction to our children, and the ones that are the most submitted are the ones that are closer to our heart. And our closeness to God is actually incumbent, not just dependent, it's incumbent upon us being in submission to Him. And the submission that He's looking for is actually submission in your heart. Submission is not something that we can do with our actions. We have to be submitted in the heart. Submission now is also something that we need to be careful with because it runs so close to obedience. Sometimes we will think obedience is submission, and that's not necessarily the case either. You can be obedient and not necessarily be submitted. So, and then obedience without submission now is also a halfway job in God. It's like being lukewarm and doesn't really please God. So the submission in the heart is actually a power, and it's something we should strive to do. Hello?
Now, Pastor.
Hey.
Yeah. Hello?
Okay. Hey, did we get cut off?
No, we're still here. I was
okay.
Just muted for some reason. I apologize for the technical difficulties.
Okay.
All right, but now, Pastor, I want to ask, now, you've talked about putting less emphasis on the thou shall not and more on the thou shall. I was hoping you could relate that to having a submitted heart as well.
Again, and it's natural for us, particularly in our culture, to pay more attention to what you're told not to do and less attention to the things that you're told to do. We learn actually as a form of escape to pay more attention to what you're not supposed to do, and then when it comes to what we're supposed to do, we do half of it or a little of it or almost none of it, and we figure like we've done something to please God simply because actually stayed out of the wrong side of the street. I would direct your attention to the men that were given talent. And one was given five, one was given two, and the other one that was given one. And the one that had five talents came back again. And his master was pleased with it. The one that was given two talents came back with four, and the Lord was pleased with him. Now, the other one, simply out of a lack of submission to the will of God, refused to do anything with the talent that he was given because he only had one, maybe, or whatever his mindset was, he did not operate in the will of God. And subsequently, he spent more time making sure that he didn't do something that was a violation instead of doing something that was a blessing to his master. You remember his response to the master was, well, I knew you were a hard taskmaster and that you just did not put up with failure. So I took my talent and hid it in the ground, and his master was most displeased with him. It's important that we give, and see, this is directly in line with having a submitted heart, that we give strict attention to what we should be doing and not pay so much attention to what we should not be doing. If we spend all of our time going after the will of God, then we have less time to ponder making mistakes. My mind also goes to some training that I had during the time I was working with the police department, and we came to understand that individuals who worked in the FBI's counterfeit section were never shown bad bills. They were only shown good bills. And they learned so much about the good bills till they came to understand that anything that was not what they learned must have been bad. Indeed. So it pays us now to go after God doing the things that we know pleases him and spend less time contemplating the thou shall not. It's not that the thou shall nots are not important, but the thou shalt are certainly is as important. And if we spend our time going after the will of God, then we have less time to contemplate failing.
So true, so true. And I thank you for that word, Pastor. Now, I understand we do have a caller on the line. And to go ahead and share with us. And also, if you're listening via internet, if you want to call in, you can do so at 646-200-3838 and press 1 to share with us. But right now we do have Latrita. Can we
go
ahead and bring her on the line? How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great.
Can you hear me?
So, would you share with us on this topic, Latrita?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Well, as far as putting God first, the main thing with me that I try to make sure I spread the word of the gospel on, when it comes down to trying to teach people about more of the do's than the don'ts, it's almost difficult in some people's eyes because they're so used to hearing God says don't do this and God says don't do that. But it sometimes even drives people away from wanting to learn more about God. So the focus should more be on the positive side of what God's word is, so it's easier to show someone through your own testimony the do's by the way you walk in the word. So in James, in the book of James, where it says, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word, that means something to me because that's telling me personally, if you can't walk in the word, people won't be able to see the light of Christ in you.
Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Pastor, yes. To me, it certainly does. And Pastor, you still there with us, correct?
Yes, I'm listening. We certainly want to spend more time going after what God has instructed. I mean, if we walk this life in fear, then, you know, we'll never get anything accomplished. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God didn't give us the spirit of fear. My mind fell on David, as the sister was just sharing. And David was one who went after God with reckless abandon. If we pay attention to most of the thou shalt not, it's important to know what we shouldn't be doing. But if it blocks us from doing what we should be doing, then the thou shalt not become a crutch. It becomes a crippling thing. And we can never strive. David was so excited about the Lord that he often broke the rules. Jesus was the rule breaker. I mean, the Pharisees and the scribes, the Sadducees, they couldn't stand him because he didn't follow strict protocol. But he knew what the truth was, and he went after the truth. Not that that he had no regard for what was wrong, but the things that were considered wrong were actually wrong in the kingdom, in Jesus' case. In David's case now, David just went after the Lord with his whole heart, and he made some mistakes, but he ended up being called a man after God's own heart. Now, that's the epitome of submission, and I think that's the tune that we want to get at more than anything else.
Now, I know, Pastor, you touched on a bit earlier about in today's world, but between you and Latrice, I want to hear from you guys about application. Like, what does this mean to us now, like our daily lives, applying that now?
Okay, me first?
Yes, please.
Yeah, go ladies first.
Okay, all right. Well, application. It's amazing that when you read God's word, it's important to absorb it, for one. And it's amazing to, I'm going to try to say this correct. It's important to listen to what God's word says, okay? But it's much more important to obey and do what it says. So in order for us to do that, that's where application comes in at. How do you take God's word and apply it to your life, even though they were talking to someone else back then? That's where people run into a roadblock at, because they go, wait a minute, this doesn't apply to me, because this was talking to, you know, another tribe a long time ago or whatever, but they forget something. God's word never changes, for one, and two is we have to learn to read it, not just as it's written on the pages, but also read in the spirit, so that we can ask God for understanding, wisdom, and knowledge to be able to apply the word to our lives. So when you're doing life application, it's best to read into what you're studying and allow that to change your thought process, your conduct, and your behavior. That's where application comes in at for me. I hope that makes sense to someone else, but that's about the best I can explain it. Pastor?
Well, a submitted heart is going to mean, if you look Ephesians 5:21, the Lord tells us to be submitted one to another. And what it simply means is to be a help to one another, be a blessing to one another. One of my favorite writings is the book of Colossians, and particularly in chapter 3, where we're told to put on certain things. Put on meekness and loving kindness, and put on patience, and put on humbleness of mind. Put those things on. And if you're going to put the, when you put those things on, they necessarily put you in the place where you can be a submitted person. Now watch this. Submission is not an automatic. You don't just say it with your mouth and then it automatically becomes a part of your lifestyle. But submission is something that you have to work yourself into. And it comes with putting on the garment that the scripture told us in Colossians to put on. Forbearance and forgiveness, which is, again, outside of, it's necessarily outside of cultural greatness for folks in this country, for the norm anyway, for us to be of that kind of mindset, because this, you know, the culture that we're in just does not provide for being submissive. Or putting somebody else before you, or thinking of someone before yourself. In the book of Philippians, Paul again admonishes us to think on the things of others more than yourself. And then when you get around the critical verses, around verse 9 in chapter 2 of Philippians, then he uses Jesus as an example. Who thought it not robbery to die, give himself up for the sake of all of us who would have no other way to make it back to the Father. But as a result of that personal sacrifice, which is what the mission actually is, it's a sense of personal sacrifice, of self-sacrifice for the betterment of others. When he did that, he got a name that was above every name. So submission should not be feared at all. It should not at all be feared. We should go after it, because it is how we build heritage. It's how we build lineage. It's how we build the kingdom of God in the earth. It's how we strengthen the bonds of love between us and our fellow men. So that's my take on submission and how we ought to do it. Find a way to be humble. Make not that you're less than anybody else, but put somebody else before you. And that's always be the blessing that works out for you.
Indeed. And I definitely believe in embracing this. And I thank you all for your beautiful commentary right there. So I need you guys to hold on. We're going to go to another caller. Actually, we have Minister Weathersby on the line, and he's going to go ahead and you there, Minister Weathersby?
Yes, I am, sir. Good evening.
Right. It's very good to hear from you, dear brother.
Well, it's good to be able to be heard from. Praise God.
So would you like to go ahead and give your commentary on the subject matter? Discussion.
Amen. This is very interesting and it's important because it for me it just speaks to what God requires for us in order for us to be in a relationship with Him. We have to be submissive. We have to submit to Him. And Proverbs 3:5-6 just speaks real clearly for me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. You know, as human beings, we like to think that we're in control of our destiny. We can do things. We have abilities, and God has blessed us with certain talents and intellect. But we can only go so far. But we have a God that says that He's from the beginning to the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and He's even the author and the finisher of our faith. It only stands the reason that I should be willing to allow Him to be in charge and control of my life, because He knows all things. I don't. I'm not as astute as He is. The Bible lets us know that, you know, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction or death. And our thoughts and our ways are not in concert with God's. They're contrary to Him. And He knows best. God knows what the best path for us to go. We just have to learn how to trust Him. And, of course, that just means that we have to work real hard and diligent to have a relationship with him, because that's how you build trust. It's through establishing a relationship. You just don't give. We don't give trust to, just because you say hello to me. That takes time, as Pastor was talking about it, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. But when you diligently seek after him, the Bible lets us also know that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him with our whole heart. We don't want to be found like some of those folks that was spoken of in the Old Testament and spoken of in the New Testament, that honor God with our lips and have our hearts far from him.
Yeah. So what I'd like to ask now is, what do we say to those that actually do have a heart for God, but they beat themselves up and they distance themselves and put themselves, you know, put meeting with God, put it off, you know? Well, I'll get to it. You know, I'll join the church one day, but I just, you know, I can't go there right now. You know, I'm still doing this over here. You know, and I'd like to pose that question to Pastor Sweet.
Okay, I don't know if you want to use the example, because that sounded like a person that's not yet submitted.
Right.
Because a heart that's submitted now, a heart that's submitted is a heart that's spent of everything else. I'm spent trying it the other way. I'm through with every other roadway. I've got to take this one. This is my only choice.
Mm-hmm.
To those who have a submitted heart, though, and bouts of discouragement and that kind of thing, you have to expect that. In this world, you shall have tribulation, Jesus said.
That's
but
right.
Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to know as those who are submitted is to be encouraged. There's no such thing as living a life like Christ has told us to be, told us to live, and subsequently coming out as failures. That just does not happen.
Amen.
That's an absolute fraud. It cannot happen. If you
mm-hmm.
live in the power of Christ, and Jesus was a submitted soul, if we live like him, then we can expect to get the things that he said that we should have. He said
Amen.
That we're more than conquerors. He said that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So when you've given and you haven't gotten the response that you were looking for, when you put yourself second, when you've given up yours for somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and the fight and loneliness or despair tries to come over you, you have to remember that you're doing the work of Christ, and you are more than a conqueror when you make those sacrifices.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Can I speak on something about submission here?
Please.
Okay. Well, from what I'm understanding and what I'm listening to, it sounds like, you know, the principle behind Paul's word, submission, which was a key element in the smooth functioning of any business, like a government or a family, something to that effect. Is that correct? Okay. God ordained submission in certain relationships to prevent chaos, and it is essential to understand that submission is not to surrender, withdrawal, or apathy. It does not mean also inferiority, because God created all people in his image and all have equal value. Submission is mutual commitment and cooperation. Is that correct?
Yeah. So you want to have 10 minutes to what is it?
You know, yeah, and what I would say submission also speaks to is just us acknowledging the fact that God is God,
okay.
and that He is everything, and that's contrary to our nature, because we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that, but God is God. He's our everything. He's the provider of everything. He's the creator of everything. He's the, like I said, he's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. One of the things that I try to tell people, I says, look at it like this from this standpoint. God is all of that, and he holds time in the palm of his hands. We exist in between God.
Okay.
You know, we exist in between him. When heaven and earth pass away, God is still going to be there. God is not going anywhere. He doesn't need us. We need him. And the more and more that we understand that, I think it allows us to become more submissive. But that can only really happen for us when we look to establish a relationship with him. Because I think it's what Psalm 84:11 says, that he would not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. Amen. And the only way we can walk uprightly is submitting to his will, allowing him, again, to be preeminent in our lives, to direct and order our steps. That's difficult for us. We don't like to be told to do things. We don't like to be instructed on what we need to do. But in order to live in this life, to live a godly life, we need that, because our nature is contrary to the will of God. And it will not do the right thing no matter what we say we'll do. Like somebody talking about what that scenario you gave earlier about somebody said they'll get right earlier, they'll come to church when they get things. We'll never get right. That's a fallacy in and of itself. There's no way that we're going to ever. If it was up to me, I would not be saved right now. God drew me. He drew me to him. I didn't come to him as I was. I know the song says that, but I didn't really come on my own accord. He drew me to him. Yeah, when he brought me in, he brought me in right where I was. He met me where I was and saved me. But it wasn't because I was looking for him. I was not looking for him.
Indeed. But, you know, that brings me to another point, and Pastor Sweeting has definitely talked about this. I would say, alongside Jesus, the most powerful thing that God has given us is choice. So, you know, we definitely have to be mindful. But see, once you feed your spirit, then you can command your flesh. You know, you feed your spirit the things above, things of God, and then you can command your spirit, and then you'll make better choices. So I hear you when you say you were drawn to God, but he still always gives us a choice, most definitely. And you obviously made the right choice.
You know what, my brother, real quick, fast, in a hurry? I was like that woman with that issue of blood for 12 years. She tried so many things to rectify that situation with her. And then she realized that all that she had tried did not work, wasn't working, was never going to work. But she heard about Jesus. And she says, I don't even need him.
I understand what the preacher is saying.
Yes, sir. I don't even need it.
Yes. What he's saying is about being drawn to Christ is exactly, Christ does draw us. You make a choice. But you'd never make a choice without his drawing.
That's right.
He draws us to make a choice.
That's
now,
right.
I wanted to get back to this submission thing, because now there is a natural fear to submission. It's just a natural inbred fear to giving up and allowing yourself to be governed by something or someone else.
Right.
It's a natural fear to it. The thing about submission to understand is that when you're doing it in accordance with the will of God, or when you're doing according to God's word, when you're moving in accordance with the word of God, submission always works in your favor. It always works in your favor. Again, culturally, when we start talking about submission, we can talk about submission for as long as we're talking about being submitted to God himself. But we've got to understand that when you're doing submission, you do submission to God by your service to others.
Amen.
Your service to others is where you show that you have submission to God. That's why he said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't give me any clothes. Submission is going to cause you to act the way Christ would act.
Amen.
Even though you don't see the face of Christ, and not fear that acting in his way is going to cause you to lose anything, or that you're going to somehow suffer beyond measure or whatever. No, we have to be bold if we're going to be submitted.
Amen.
Submission requires boldness.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to go back to Latricia, because I know you had a question there. Was it answered?
Yes, it was answered.
Amen.
Very well.
Okay. Praise God.
And then some, right?
Yeah, and then some, but it was amazing because I was waiting for someone to hit on submission as far as between two people, especially a couple, where one person has to understand that being submissive does not mean you're not to be a doormat. And I know a lot of people right now that feel they have to be a doormat in order to be submissive. But I tell the women that I talk to all the time that if you have a man of God and he's following God, he's being submissive to God. So you should have a problem being submissive to him as long as he's following the Lord.
Amen.
In the comments.
And I think that's a good point. Now, let's not confuse submission with some inaccurate activity like being foolish or see, submission is only submission when we're doing what God tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord never told you to be anybody's doormat.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly.
But he told us to be in service to those that we come in contact with, to be a help to them, to be a blessing to them. Those types of responses are necessarily the responses that come from just living in this kind of culture,
mm-hmm.
the culture that we live in. It will make you afraid. It will bring sometimes more questions than answers, you know, to a subject as powerful as being submitted. Just remember.
Amen.
That when you submit, it's the most powerful thing you can do,
because
mm-hmm. it opens you up to blessing, and now you have access to those things that only a giver can give. So we should never be afraid to submit.
And you know, just to add with what Pastor was saying, it's contrary to what our minds and what our intellect tells us that submitting is. Submitting for a lot of people means that I'm admitting my weakness.
Right.
And I don't want to be weak. I don't want to appear weak before nobody, because if I appear weak, then I'm going to be vulnerable. But like Pastor is talking about the power that comes from submitting, I really love John 15:13 for that, because the Bible says greater love has no man than this, than when he lay down his life for his friend. Now, that doesn't mean that God is looking for us to lay down our lives on the cross for anybody. We can't do that. However, what he does expect us is to step out of our selfish desires and perform a selfless act on behalf of somebody else.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Look at the things that particularly in the book of St. John. John said, I'm writing this stuff so you'll know that Jesus is the Christ first, and that in him your life can be powerful. John 20, verse 30, 31, you'll read that in there. But now, John talked about the things that Jesus did, and all of these things, I mean, these things were submissive acts. The wedding at Cana. Was a serious act of submission on the part of the Christ. You know, he didn't have to change water to wine so that those people can continue having joy and pleasure. But, you know, he was asked to do it, and he submitted himself to that.
Mm-hmm.
If you just read through John, there are a number of things that Christ did on the way to being submitted even after his death. You know, he's on the seashore cooking fish, you know, for guys who've been fishing all night and caught nothing. You know, and he says, come and dine. Now, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's on the shore cooking for God. You know, so now, what we have to do is not let our titles over. We can't be our titles.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
we get to be pastor this and prophet that and bishop the other. And subsequently, we feel like, you know, now that we've acquired some titles, we can't, you know, it's out of our realm to help somebody or to spend some time talking to somebody or buy a lunch for somebody. None of those things, I mean, all of those things that actually give credence to a submissive kingdom walk.
Indeed.
Well, now let me pose another question. We kind of touched on it a bit, but how? Because sometimes we're not even conscious of when we slip into that. You all, the issue of becoming a doormat came up, you know. And it's easy to like, when is enough enough? You know, we talk about being kind-hearted and long-suffering and forbearing with people, but you know, how do you know when? You know, it's enough when, you know, people are taking advantage of
you. Well, my position is always to measure it against how much the Lord did for you.
Right.
If you measure it against how much the Lord did for you, once you come up with that, then you understand how much, you know, how that's when enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Stop forgiving when Christ stopped forgiving you.
That's right.
Stop being a help to somebody else when Christ stopped helping you.
Oh.
You know, it again, we have these natural fears because the culture that we live in. We have these natural fears that will prevent us, if we're not careful, from acts of submission. Because you said, you know, I bought him a pair of pants before he sold it. I already gave her a dollar one time. She wasted it. Or I did this for, you know. But listen, you know, you as long as what you're doing is being beneficial and helpful, then I think we're charged to do it.
That's
now,
right.
There's some things that you can do for people. I mean, somebody is strung out on a drug and stuff. You don't want to give them money. You know, because you know what's going to happen to it, and that's not going to benefit them. Okay, but as long as you're being beneficial, you know, somebody needs, they say, I'm hungry. You know, you see these guys on the side of the road.
Yes.
You know, I'm hungry. Okay, let's go to the store, I'll buy you some food. Well,
that's right.
You know, I'll buy you some food if you're at the store and you're hungry. You know, I'll get you some food. But now, you get this guy, well, never mind, I'll just take the money. No.
No,
that's
right.
Not how
Amen.
This works.
Amen.
Indeed.
Amen.
Well, well, I tell you, time really does fly when you're giving God, you're glorifying God, I tell you that. And I want to thank all of you all for coming on this first show, Messenger of Life. And I hope that, you know, everyone under the sound of our voices have been blessed. But I do want to go ahead and get our closing remarks. Let's start with Latresa, and then we'll go to Minister Weathersby.
Well,
Latresa,
I'm here.
Still
there with you? Yes, I'm still here. I just want to say thank you for having me on your broadcast here, and I learned quite a bit today, and I just want to say thank you, Pastor Reedy, and thank you, Minister, the Minister is on here. Thank you for answering my questions. I just want to say God bless you all.
God bless you,
Minister. Uh-huh. Amen. I'm just praising God for you, Brother Eric. I would say that you're doing a perfect example of someone that's submissive to God from the heart, because this is going to be a benefit for others, and this, of course, is going to bring forth power, because it's important for us to have knowledge about things and the way of God. We all need, I mean, that's what's lacking with a lot of believers, that they don't really understand what they need to understand about God and what his ways are and what he expects of us. So I'm grateful to God for the doors being open for you and for you being submissive unto the will of God and being obedient unto that will and following through on that. And I know that God has got great things in store for you, bro. So you just keep on being encouraged. You know, the best is yet to come.
Thank you so much, Minister Weathersby. That means a lot. It truly does. God bless you, sir. And
God bless you too.
Pastor Sweet. Thank you.
Well, the Minister Weathers, he must have been in my head. I want you to know I am so proud. I'm so proud of the work that you're doing, the love that you have for God, Brother Sam Dendros. The work that you have, the love that you have for God, is never going to fail you. You stay
Amen.
Submitted to him, and he's going to exalt you to higher heights. I just thank him for his presence in your life, and just to see the wonderful work that he's doing with you makes me very proud. God bless you, young man.
Amen.
God bless you. And I really thank all of you so much. And again, many thanks to Rich Money for this opportunity. And I definitely am excited about next Sunday. We're going to be right back here, same time, same place. And, you know, we have Spiritual Sunday that comes on right before this show with host Lavina Polite. God bless her. And what I'm going to ask now is, Pastor Sweeting, would you go ahead and close this out in prayer?
Amen.
Certainly. For all of the guests, God bless you all. Thank you so much. And to my sister, what a wonderful inspiration she is. Now, Father, we thank you for an opportunity to share with others the gift that you placed in us. Cause us now, in the name of Jesus, to walk closer to you, understanding
yes,
that a submitted heart is the key to trust. It's the key to our blessing. Just being submitted to you and understanding that when we give ourselves up, we are never left alone, but we are empowered and emboldened by the greatness of your mighty spirit that you replace with what we give up. We just bless you now for being our God and for leading us and guiding us into all truth. I pray for this radio announcer, Brother Vendros tonight. Lord God, strengthen him. And for all of these guests tonight, those who are listening, Lord God, may they be strengthened now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. All right, and we're going to say goodnight, and God bless you all.
God bless you, and God bless everyone. Amen.
Bless you, sir.
This song says, God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunt anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and his grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me.
Get a witness in here.
So I wouldn't let go.
favor. I was really down. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank Him. Just thank Him.